You are the way.
Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to see the Father through his Son as we're given the way to eternal life through Jesus' life, his words, his works, and his deeds. But today also we're going to consider the vocation of motherhood on this Mother's Day, acknowledging that they teach us how to live the Christian life in the forgiveness of sins in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We heard today that no one can come to the Father except through Christ, and that's true. That is the truth. But unfortunately for us today, we live in a confusing world with differing opinions, worldviews, ideologies. Especially with the prevalence of social media, all of these things come rushing past our faces nonstop. It seems as if we can't go anywhere without hearing someone's opinion or somebody pushing their agenda towards us or differing with our opinion. And all of that is just noise. We have to know that we no longer live in a world that believes there is no truth. Instead, the world we live in believes that everybody has truth. A lot of people seem to be justified in their own pseudo-intellectual Wikipedia knowledge, or the fact that they once took a class on whatever subject that you might be talking about with them. And although there are certainly intelligent people that surround us and that are here today and that are in the world, the fact of the matter is this: without Christ, there is no truth. There's no life without Christ either. We have to understand that what Jesus speaks is true. He is one with the Father. Jesus says in our gospel, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" How much closer can the Father get to us than through the blood and body of Jesus Christ? He himself comes to earth. So with that being said, those searching for truth, those searching for God, need not to look any farther than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. But that's the state that we live in as humans. We wander through this wilderness of earth, the state of sinfulness as we live as descendants of Adam, in which sin first entered the world. Adam and Eve believed Satan. Satan told them that they knew better than God, that God, what he said was false and was a lie. Adam and Eve believed in truth, or thought they knew it, apart from God. We, still to this day, struggle knowing truth as we lead sinful lives, claiming that we know best. We follow our own ways or live how we wish to because this is our life. People and we ourselves often blame God for the problems that we might have in this world. It's easy because it takes the focus off of ourselves and puts it on someone else. We wonder how God could allow such atrocities to happen while he just sits idly by providing no answer. They rail and they rally against God and against truth, and they reject God's answer, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. God sends Christ to destroy death, to destroy the devil, and to clear the confusion in this world. God's seen the wrong in the world, and he's not sat idly by, but he's provided us an answer. He's the only way to God, and he is God. He says, "No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." And in this world of confusion, we hear a lot of things. We hear that there's many paths to God. There's many ways to God. Any lifestyle or religion, it all leads to the same place. These things are misleading, and they're false. No matter what religion and what worldview or one lifestyle you hold to, we do end up standing before God. Every path and every religion that someone chooses here in this life does end up standing before judgment in God. But the massive difference is this: whether or not we are found to be covered in Christ's blood and his righteousness, able to call God our Father. Those who are saved, those who call upon God the Father, and those who enter into heaven with eternal life, they know Jesus as Lord. Come to the Father through him alone, because he is the way and the truth and the life. And as Jesus teaches his disciples throughout his ministry, they're often confused. They often miss the point and the purpose as to why Christ comes to earth. Thomas, in our gospel lesson, even asks, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answers him by saying that he is the way. Jesus is the way in which we're to live. He's also the perfect life that was lived, which paved our way into eternal life with him. But note, Jesus isn't merely just a way in which we're to model our lives after. He's much more than that. He's literally the way or the path that we're to be in and go through, meaning we're to be in him because only Christ lives the perfect life. And only he has been raised from the dead. The disciples, they don't understand. They don't know exactly what Christ meant yet by "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But after his resurrection on Easter, they certainly did. And for us today who live after the resurrection and who have just celebrated Easter, we can certainly know that he is the way as well. And because Christ is the way, we don't follow what the world wishes for us. And we don't succumb to what the devil tempts us of, because we've been given the way to our Father in heaven. So even while others around us stray and follow other paths, we stick with Christ because Christ is going ahead of us, preparing a place for us, as he said in our gospel lesson. We believe that Christ is the way because he's the truth as well. Christ is the truth of who God is and what God has done. We're told to not let our hearts be troubled, but believe in God. Believe also in Christ. He's the truth which shines amongst the darkness and amongst the lies in this world. There's no more need to be confused or troubled or bounce around from one belief to the next, because we have the truth, which is Christ. And as mentioned before, the world is lost. It's confused. They don't see Christ as the truth, let alone having any truth at all. But he has come as God and man to show us what truth looks like. He comes from the Father who created everything. What could be more true than that? We know goodness and mercy through Christ because he speaks to us in love. And he reveals to us who God really is. God is one who gives of himself, who sacrifices his only Son for our place so we could live with him forever. He fulfills the promises that he spoke of in Genesis, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the Old Testament prophets and all the leaders. And he sends his son to fulfill that as the truth. And now that truth fulfilled gives us life. Christ is also the life. Apart from him, there's only death. There's only separation from God. Christ comes to bear our death on himself so that we can have life. Since Christ is one with the Father, the same Father in heaven who created all of the heavens and the earth, anyone who is in Christ is also in life. And through Christ's perfect life on this earth, and his death and his resurrection back to life, he has now won that life to all who believe in him. He's the only mediator between man and God. He's the high priest. He sacrifices for our sake. Not only does he do the sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice himself. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus is the way in which salvation comes to us as he takes our punishment for us. He's our high priest who offers that lamb perfect without blemish, that lamb sacrificed on a cross for our sake. And by his righteousness, we're covered. And in baptism, we're his saints. He's the truth that this salvation has been fulfilled, and that life is with anyone who believes. Christ is the chosen one through whom all of God's people is built upon. He's our cornerstone, our rock. For those who believe, he's our cornerstone. But for those who reject, Christ is merely a stumbling block. Foolishness. Nonsense. Because they desire to go in their own selfish, sinful ways. They do this because they think that this life that they have is their own, and that they're free to do whatever they want with it. But they're mistaken. The world's mistaken because they're actually slaves to their own selfish desires and passions. All those who believe that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they're actually free to live life as God has intended, free from sin, able to be in communion with God. And because of this, because of Christ's word and his works, we're forgiven. We know the truth. We know the way, and we have life. And because of all of that, we continue in the works that Christ has done, proclaiming that he's Lord in the forgiveness of sins. And we take this truth to the world, and we show them the way so that they may have life. Now, Christ has not only come and fulfilled all things, and he's also left us an example. But he's given us more than that. He's given us the apostles to know how the Christian life should be modeled. He's given us pillars of faith throughout the church, the history of the church, on how we can look to and how we ought to live the Christian life. There's countless examples in Scripture of the saints that have gone on before us. And he's also given us a tangible, physical example in all of our lives. He's given us our parents, especially our mothers, as we remember them on this Mother's Day. It's God who created motherhood. He created Eve, the first mother. He also created all those who have been mothers since then. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his human nature, he also had a mother, Mary. And as we celebrate Mother's Day this year, let's not only reflect on what they have done for us, and it's been so much, but also why they do what they do. God has given us mothers and grandmothers to raise us as godly children, teaching us, instructing us, disciplining us in the ways of the Lord. Mothers show us God's love because they love their children unconditionally. They forgive and they sacrifice because that is what mothers do. I thank my own mom for teaching me how to love as Christ first loved. How to give of oneself and to sacrifice without accepting anything in return. I thank her for praying for me more than I will ever know. We thank our mothers today as they bring life into this world and they nurture that life in the love of Christ through each and every situation. My mother taught me how to live the life that we have in Christ through her example as she reflects Christ's love to me. So let's each of us today give special thanks and present acts of kindness and acknowledge and love our mothers and our grandmothers as the examples of Christ's love for us. We take that example and we continue that in our own lives because this is what we are as a chosen race. We're a holy nation. We're a people for God's own possession. We are to proclaim His excellencies to all people because He is someone who's called us out of darkness into light. Christ says that whoever believes in Him will do the works that He does. And we as Christians certainly do. And I pray that all mothers do and continue to do these works of love as well. And since we're no longer separated from the Father but dwell in Him, we will go to where Christ is preparing a place for us. So we thank the Lord for Christ. We thank the Lord for our mothers and our grandmothers who have kept us in the Word of God and guide us in His love, knowing that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds unto life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn to page 158, hymnal.